The Apostle Peter, he writes to them, Christians were scattered to different parts of Roman Empire, these provinces. What is his purpose? You see, the purpose, of course, we can imagine that he wants the suffering Christians to comfort them, to strengthen them, of course, but he writes it by the end of chapter 5. You see, chapter 5 verse 12. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. So he refers to two purposes. He says, I have written briefly to you through Silvanus. What is my purpose? Two things are there. To exhort you means to encourage you, to strengthen you, to make you strong. And the other thing is to testify. You must remember that these suffering Christians should be strengthened, encouraged to face continuous persecution. They should stand firm for the Lord in spite of all these hostilities. So he wanted to testify. Testify means he wants to give a testimony. This is what I have experienced. So you be strong and stand firm in the faith. Now one more thing we see from chapter 5 verse 12. In order to encourage them, what is the theme, what is the main topic he states there? He writes there, this is the true grace of God in which you stand. So there we see the theme of the book, the grace of God. Peter wants to remind them, you stand in the grace of God. So they should know. When we study the whole book, we can understand. We can divide this whole book broadly under this theme. First of all, they should know what God's grace has done for them. I told you, he doesn't write systematically at the same time. Broadly, we can see there is a division. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, 10. Up to 2:10. From 2:11 it begins, Beloved, I beg you. In other words, he wants to tell them from chapter 1 verse 1 to 2:10 what God's grace has done for you. You are standing in God's grace. And he refers to all those blessings God has bestowed upon them in his grace. Then 2:11 onwards, he wants to tell them that how this grace will sustain them. We know about grace saves and grace sustains. They should know that they stand in the grace of God, and they should know that they will be sustained by the grace of God. In time of persecution, suffering, there is grace available to strengthen them, to help them, to sustain them. So Apostle Peter's effort is to help them realize that they stand in God's grace and they need to keep on standing in that grace. I think we also need to remember always. Apostle Paul once said, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, we know that verse very well, I'm sure. Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am. By the grace of God I am what I am. If we should understand, we also should understand. What is that? We stand in grace. Grace means God's God's favor. Now, my effort is not to make a study on grace. We stand in grace, and we are going to stand in grace. We have to stand by grace. We cannot say that I have come to the Lord by grace, now I will continue by my effort. Saved by grace, sustained by grace. We need grace always. We are standing, that is true, but we need to keep on standing in His grace. That's why Peter writes to these suffering Christians, reminding them, you stand in the grace of God, you need to stand, keep on standing in God's grace. And we'll come back to that two verses. Okay, first two verses we have the introduction. As I told you, Peter begins the epistle telling them who writes to whom and what is his word of greetings, grace to you and peace be multiplied, as I have already told you. So there is then that these first two verses we see referring to the readers. He says two things about them. That's very instructive, that's very interesting. Two words are there. Two things he says about them. To the pilgrims of the dispersion, that is one thing. What is second thing? Second one. My habit is not keep on preaching, my habit. I'll begin little bit and then ask me a question, because we shall study together. I told you there are two things Peter says about the readers, about the recipients. One thing is pilgrims of the dispersion. What is the second thing? Elect. Two things are there. These two things are true about us. First of all, pilgrims, strangers, of the dispersion, we understand that the word, generally the word used for Jewish people who used to stay away from Palestine, diaspora, dispersion. But now Apostle Peter, he applies that same term for Christians. You are away from your homeland. Scattered all around Asia, in these different provinces. And you are pilgrims, sojourners. You have no permanent place to stay. You have no permanent dwelling place. Only temporary shelter you have. You are away from your homeland, away from your house. Pilgrims. The Bible says very clearly, we know that verse is very well. Apostle Paul writes to Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. Hebrews, we see the writer says that we have no permanent city here. Now that aspect we shall see it later on, but just see, when he comes to chapter 2 verse 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. In other words, he wants to say that, beloved, you should remember that you are scattered pilgrims, live like that. That is the condition of a Christian. And we need to live like pilgrims, live accordingly. We should never expect that. We shall be treated like the people of this land. We should live like pilgrims and strangers. That's for one thing. We shall see it later on when we come to chapter 2 verse 11. Now the second thing he says, the elect. What is the implication? The elect? These scattered Christians. They are pilgrims, sojourners. They have no place to stay. Wherever they are going, there is nobody to tell them, nobody to receive them. But Peter wants to encourage them. What is that? You are the elect of God. We know that this term also used to used for Jewish people, Israel. The elect, God has elected the people of Israel. Just the one verse in Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people He has chosen are His own inheritance. But do we read there? People of Israel, psalmist, they used to glory in that truth. What a blessed people we are. God has chosen us. We are the elect of God. We are a blessed nation because God has chosen us. One more verse, we know it very well. Psalm 65:4. Another verse. There again we see how the Jewish people, they used to glory in that fact that God has chosen them, elected them. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. Now Peter, he uses the same term for Christians. Of course, we see the same thing in chapter 2, verse 9 also, I think. You are a chosen generation. Peter wants to tell them, encourage them, saying, you are strangers, pilgrims, but elected by God. God has chosen them. Now, do you see any importance in that? Now we need to consider it. You are God's elect. God has chosen you, Apostle Peter says. Some of you might have heard or seen that today, as I don't know which day, there was election, by-elections in many parts of this country. In Kerala, three assembly places where election was held, and all the UDF means the Congress government or Congress party, they got those seats. You know, when there is somebody is defeated, somebody is elected. Have you noticed their face, their expression? When somebody got elected, what a joy. The other got defeated. What kind of face they have? Nothing? No impact at all? You went for an interview. It was a long process. Written examination is there. Personal interview is there. Lot of steps were there. And finally, you are waiting for that final decision. You are not selected. What is the outcome? Nothing. There are 10 people are there. 2 are elected or selected. 8 is not selected. No difference. I am sure there will be difference. Or the 8 people will be very sad. They expected so much. See, God, Apostle Peter says the same thing. We must feel it. We should feel it. We should sense it. These people should feel it. We are strangers. We are being persecuted everywhere. They are trying to kill us, destroy us. We are despised, rejected by people. Peter says, you are the elect one. God has chosen you. God has chosen you. That we also should, you know, feel it very well. The way Israelites used to feel it. The way the Hebrews used to feel it. Now let's see, what is the reason why God elected us? God has chosen us? Now you tell me, what is the reason why? Now we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, When we consider these truths, I understand that it's not a popular truth. Many, they do not even believe it. But the Bible says, God has elected us. God has chosen us. And when we realize it, it really makes us happy, makes us strong, makes us confident against all the trouble, all the persecution, all the hostility. We are able to stand for God joyfully, courageously. At the same time, this truth makes us humble. Paul says in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, can also read if you get it. The little more. Okay, chapter 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen. The things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. What made God to use us? What made God to elect us? Any reason is there? Paul says nothing. We have nothing to boast. He says God has chosen foolish things, weak things, base things, things which are despised, things which are not. Somewhere else, the writer says, you were not a people. Peter himself says, you were not a people. Then who we were? Peter says in his epistle, 1 Peter himself, you were not a people earlier, then who we were? That is the truth. We were not even considered as people. But now we belong to Him. We are His own. Because He has chosen us in His grace. In His sovereign will. No, what is the reason, what is the aim of God in choosing us? That also we have to consider. Then we will come to chapter 1 verse 2. What is the aim of God? When God chose us, we must understand God has a purpose. And what are those purposes? Four things we shall consider. Deuteronomy 7, 6. That speaks about Israel at the same time. We can apply it into a Christian's life. Deuteronomy 7, 6. You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for people for Himself. People for Himself. So what is it? God chose them, elected them, that they may be a people of His own, God's own people. When we come to 1 Peter 2, 9, Peter takes the same things, idea, even terms, and saying, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, peculiar people, special people. So, one reason God chose us is to make us His own people, His own. We belong to God, that we may become God's own possession. Another thing, three more things we shall consider. Ephesians 1:4. You know that? Ephesians 1:4. If you get the references, you can read. Nothing wrong to read loudly. Ephesians 1:4, we read, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We should be holy and blameless. Two more things we shall be. Romans 8:29, anybody knows? My heart? Very famous, familiar portion. That we may be conformed to the image of His Son. One more verse. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Read there. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. For salvation. So four things at least. That we may be His own people. That we may be blameless and holy. Then we may become like Christ. We may bear the image of Jesus Christ. We may be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And we may be saved. God chose us. Or God has chosen us in His grace. Not because we are worthy, we know that. Weak, foolish, despised, people who were nothing. In His sovereign will, in His own will, He chose us that we may become His own people. So Peter says, you are the elect. Pilgrims, strangers, same time, God has chosen you to be His own people. He wanted them to be encouraged, strengthened by the truth. They belong to God.